and welcome to worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. This is your host today, Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm glad to be with you guys today. Dad is in Europe. I think he landed safely this morning, last night, sometime around there. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'm sure he's managing just fine over there. So hopefully within the next couple of days, I'll be able to get him back on the air and get him on the show so he can let us know what's going on over there, how everything is. I know he wanted to give us definitely some pretty real-life updates on what's going on as far as with the immigration crisis. However, we already know how significant and serious it is. You know, having somebody over there that actually can give you an unbiased opinion is something that I think is going to be pretty interesting. The first article relating to that, too, now, this is pretty wild. The U.K., there's a bunch of people in Bristol City in the U.K. that are unbelievably mad after last weekend. The English City Council did not host a St. George Day's event because they claim the area is too multicultural. This is U.K. City. Bristol City Council allowed the National Day to pass without a single event, even for the patron saint, despite its history dating back to 1222. If you do some research on him, he was involved in all kinds of pretty cool stuff. And as they've always celebrated St. George's Day, it's not a bank holiday or anything, but it's definitely, you know, a cool day they kind of celebrate it and come out. And the city refused to even acknowledge it, wouldn't do anything with it, wouldn't even acknowledge that it was going on, because they said there's 91 different languages spoken in this town, and they didn't want to offend anybody. And some in the area feel that the English symbol that's on the flag has been hijacked by far-right groups that are concerned about being branded racist. One lady said, there was a point in the past when I'd see the St. George's Day flag flying, and it would frighten me, as it had been taken over by We Are England-type groups. Well, I hate to tell her, you know, bust her little bubble, but she does happen to live in the U.K., where there's a significant amount of national pride there. People are very proud of their national heritage in England and the U.K. So, quite frankly, she's just a blithering idiot. That's just point of that. People need to realize that there's a background to our history, that things happened for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years ago, and for us to sit there and close our eyes and be like, well, we don't want to celebrate that because it might offend people. I mean, what is that going to come to the United States? Now we're going to say, well, we're not going to celebrate, you know, Independence Day. We're not going to celebrate 4th of July because there's a lot of Muslims here, and it might offend them that we're celebrating that. Get out of here with that rhetoric. That's complete and total nonsense. One person even wrote on the article, they said, Bristol City Council refused to acknowledge St. George's Day yesterday for fear of upsetting other faiths, but they don't mind upsetting us. And that's the thing, guys, you got to understand, is this whole political correctness thing has gotten so far out of control, and we've talked about it so many times now, so I'm not going to keep beating it over and over again. But you just have to understand that people have to be themselves. People have to respect other people's heritage. Your heritage is important to you, mine's important to mine, and we need to respect that about one another. Now, if you're trying to incite violence, if you're trying to hurt individuals, if you're trying to do things that are unlawful, that's a completely different story. But celebrating something in your country, in your native country, that has been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years, there's nothing racist about that. There's nothing wrong about that. That'd be like us going over to Africa and being like, well, you can't celebrate this day over here because we're Americans and we're going to get offended by that. Get out of here. It's ridiculous. Former U.S. diplomat Adam Topolsky now is also warning that Europeans will inevitably flee their own countries as a result of suicidal migration policies that have seen millions of Muslim asylum seekers pour into the continent over the last year. This is pretty wild. He's got some pretty interesting predictions that he thinks is going to happen, and it makes a lot of sense. He said what's going to start happening is reverse migration. The article was in Hungary Today. Topolsky, who worked for the U.S. State Department between 84 and 88, says European countries like Hungary and Czech Republic have refused to bow to the migrant influx, and they will end up becoming a refuge for European citizens who will become migrants in their own land as a result of mass Muslim immigration. I think Angela Merkel came out, I don't have the article in front of me right now, she came out earlier and said that the entire workforce of Europe will eventually be Islam, and she's supporting that. This would be all Islam workforce. They're going to handle the base main workforce in Germany and in Europe now. She's so far left, I don't even know how, honestly, how she's still there, how they haven't impeached her yet, what she's done to their country. But he, again, back to Stepanski, he said the Western citizens are going to opt to move to Hungary in the next 20 to 30 years and settle there in the wake of the migrant crisis. He said it's a very predictable trend because European citizens are going to want to escape these suicidal migration policies and will seek a safer place to retire. He goes on bluntly and says Europeans will eventually refuse to be surrounded by radical Muslims in their own countries, migrants who have destabilized the continent and altered the way of life, the religious and cultural fabric. So it's interesting. That's a strong statement to say that we're going to have a mass migration, reverse migration. But I can't say he's that far off, guys. I mean, what is going on in Europe is serious. That's why I really want to hear from Dad whenever he gets over here, whenever he gets solidified in the next couple days, so he can give us an idea of what exactly is going on. Chuck Norris now, if you guys saw this, Chuck Norris came out now and bashed chemtrails. Basically straight called them out. And there's also something else I saw yesterday, I think. Somebody sent me a link to it. And I don't know if it was an Illuminati symbolism. I don't know. Whatever it was, you guys can look it up. It was Vin Diesel from the Fast and the Furious series. He's got a photo that he posted on, I think it was on Facebook. Somebody sent me the link to it, and he's crossing his fingers like an X, like over his, and the photo's shooting up, and there's a big old chemtrail X over his head. Now, I don't know if he's trying to do that to make a silent publication of showing people, hey, there's something going on with chemtrails. I don't know if that was some Illuminati symbolism. Not 100% sure. He put no comment or wording post with it. It was just a picture. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty odd, especially along the lines of seeing all this stuff with these rumors of Prince and Merle Haggard and then Chuck Norris coming out now. Here's an article on Chuck Norris. He called out sky criminals, is what he called it, in his latest op-ed examining several pieces of evidence showing a global geoengineering scheme. It was the World Net Daily editorial. The Walker Texas Ranger Star warned that governments have already been covertly subjecting populations to weather modifications experiments and more, highlighting a 2003 National Center for Biotechnology Information abstract, which concluded that, and I quote, aerosol immunization seems a promising method of vaccination. Wow. Norris asserted he found it doubtful that the U.S. government has not already tested this method or others on U.S. populations. He goes on to say, over the past 13 years since the study, does anyone think it's possible that such mass vaccinations have occurred by air and trial locations in the United States? How many plane-dropping chemical cocktails have already been sprayed around the world in the name of securing public health? Norris goes on to say, if you don't believe that there's some smoke screening in the sky trails above you, I have a London Bridge to sell you in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. And it is. It's getting to the point now. Down here in Florida, it's off and on all the time. And this is, it's like the giant elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. I mean, every customer I talk to that's brought it up to me, I've brought it up to them. People bring it up. They go, man, what is this? What's going on? Like I said, we did a water test analysis on two different batches of rainwater directly after there was chemtrail spraying. We posted them on our website if you want to look at them. And this was years ago, guys. This was back 2011, I want to say. And there were significant amounts of barium and aluminum, which aluminum, there's really no significant reason there would be that much in the atmosphere unless it was being placed there. Remember, aluminum is not a metal. It's bound to other metals. It is not something that's a normal occurring element in its own raw form with nothing attached to it. It's usually bound with all types of other metals in the ground. It's not just free-form aluminum floating around the atmosphere, not unless we put it there. And on those rainwaters, like I said, we tested it, especially the heavy one. It was enormously high. The amount of aluminum that was in the rainwater was higher than the EPA allowed amount in drinking water, standard faucet public drinking water. it was higher than that. And that was our rainwater, the water that's supposed to be extremely clean that you can drink if you need to. So there's something significant going on with it. And back to Chuck Norris here, article, he claims him and his wife have witnessed geoengineering over their Texas ranch and goes on to suggest there may be a possible cover-up after nixing of a study that last year proving harmful human side effects related to geoengineering. That is, interestingly, on September 2nd, 2015, just 2 weeks after it was published, Dr. J. Marvin Hurton's entire 16-page scientific article was suddenly and completely retracted from the journal based upon only two chemical composition questions and an overarching explanation with no further explanation except this. The language of the paper is often not sufficiently scientifically objective for a research article. That's all it said. They pulled his research study. And this is what Norris was referring to that really went into detail on the entire side effects of geoengineering and what they're doing. But see, guys, if just the aluminum and barium is not enough, you know, they want to start testing stuff exactly like he said. They can start putting different aerosol vaccinations in the air. They can put anything they want in the air. If they feel that they can get away with it, which they pretty much can now because nobody's done anything to it about it, even Congress is refusing to admit it. And I know those guys, most of those guys are fairly educated. There's no way they're that moronic up there that they don't see the same thing being sprayed in our skies as well. There's no way. They see it as well. And so there's something going on behind the curtains that nobody wants to address. Nobody wants to admit, and in my opinion, anytime something reaches that level, it's incredibly sinister. And it really, we've done everything we can as far as local legislation, trying to get them to talk about it. Nobody will admit it. Nobody will talk about it. Everybody wants to act like it doesn't exist. Oh, they're jet trails. They're not jet trails. When you watch a jet in the sky, you can see, well, I saw it one time. We saw a jet in the sky flying around the same area on the opposite sides of the sky. One of them was leaving a jet trail, very short, dissipated very quickly like a normal jet trail. The other one was literally blowing a whole cloud of chemtrail out of the rear end of the plane. And then suddenly, it stopped. The plane turned directions and flipped it back on again. Guys, jet trails don't dissipate, especially when you're at a specific level and height. They don't just go away and come back on. That's nonsense. So I don't know any more to do about it. We've informed our listeners, and most of you guys already know about it. So that's something that I wanted to let everybody know. Now, out in Kunkeltown, Pennsylvania, Nestle Waters is about to have another unbelievable raping of the land out there. Nestle Waters, if you guys have done any research on them, which I have the last couple months, they're notorious for coming in, getting water rights, paying water extraction permits, harvest permits for next to nothing, and then going in and sucking out just literally millions and millions and millions of gallons of water out of aquifers, a lot of times completely drying them up and then leaving the premises and acting like nothing happened. I know in San Bernardino National Forest, I talked about this a couple months ago, California's in a serious drought right now. They're pumping out, I think, roughly like 60,000 gallons a day out of San Bernardino Forest, and if you look it up, their annual permit fee is $524. That's what they pay to pump all that water out of there. They turn around, they bottle it, and they sell these little 16-ounce bottles of water for $1, $2 some places. It's insane, and they're charging us for water. It's like charging us for air. There's no reason. If these guys want to come in and they want to pay, you know, $5 or $6 million permit fee to extract this water, and you want to disperse it among the residents that vote on it and say, hey, we don't mind Nestle coming in, raping our aquifers, taking our water, but we want to get a dividend of, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 per person in the community that's going to be affected by this every single year. They vote on it, then okay, now everybody wins. Nestle still gets to ravage the water. They'll still make an enormous profit. I mean, you guys think about the water that they're selling. I mean, on a roughly, what is it, 16-ounce bottle is what the normal ones are, I think, as far as that you buy at the store, the little Nestle waters. So if you're looking at that by 16, just out of curiosity, I want to look at. You're looking at roughly a gallon of water between 7 to 8 of those bottles. So say round it down after filtering, they're going to get 7 of those dollar bottles. So they're going to get $7 a gallon. The place that I'm talking about right now in Kunkelville, Pennsylvania, they already got their permitting now, and they want to start pumping out a 200,000 gallons of water every day out of their aquifer. I'll go into detail in a second. But just basic math here, guys. If you're talking about 7 bottles of water at $1 a piece for every gallon of water they harvest, and that's 7 gallons after they filter, because it's almost eight bottles, you're looking at $1.4 million every single day they'd be pumping out of this aquifer. Now, of course, they're going to have operating expenses, transport expenses, stuff like that, but you're still talking about a significant amount of money with little to no cost of inventory. None. You're pumping it out of the water and transporting it. And to this article now. Nestle Water has been active in Kunkeltown for years, but recently they've been conducting well testing on privately owned properties adjacent to Donna Deal's home. This article is from, where is it on here? Don't have it. From Blacklisted News. And they say last summer residents noticed Nestle had rented an office in the local community center. Word spread, and with some investigation, Dahil and her neighbors found out that the transnational corporation has been active in the community since 2012, testing water quality and quantity with the ultimate goal of constructing and operating a bulk extraction facility. She goes, one of the things that opened my eyes was the amount of profit for Nestle. It's unreal. And that's what I was just telling you guys before. Roughly, before significant expenses are taken out, 200,000 gallons a day extracted out of these aquifers would gross them about $1.4 million a day. And the permit application, Nestle Water filed with Township, it states the company is proposed to drill 2 large wells, pump 200,000 gallons of water per day from the aquifer, put in its trucks, and transfer it to an existing bottling facility, Allentown, about 20 miles away. It expects 60 truck trips through the town per day. It plans to pump for 10 years with an option to continue pumping for an additional 15 years, leading to the removal of 73 million gallons from the aquifer over the life of the wells. Residents drove the local township in droves and found out that in May 2014, this is interesting, an ordinance was changed in the Eldridgetown Township zoning rules with no site, whatever, there was no voting on it, that allowed bulk water extraction to occur in commercial zones. That small but important rule change opened the gate for Nestle to submit a permit application for bulk water extraction, which, before May 2014, was illegal. And the first thing that I noticed, too, regardless of the water extraction, that's already horrible. You're already raping the aquifers. 60 truck trips a day, 60 water tank trucks, you're talking about in an 8-hour day, if that's when they're transferring, depending on how often they're driving, in an 8-hour day, that's 7 truck trips per hour out of the day. 7. That means you got to deal with a water tanker going through your town every 9 minutes. You got to deal with a big old truck driving through. This is a small little town up there in Pennsylvania. Now, we live here in Auburndale, and there's CCC, which is a semi-truck company. It's based out of Auburndale, and we have to deal with semi-trucks around here quite often. And I'll tell you what, guys, it's a nuisance. I'm not bashing on semi-truck drivers, but when we're going around the lake and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour and we got 20 people backed up going around the lake, it's frustrating. It's just, it is what it is. We've dealt with it as part of it. But when you start talking about Nestle bringing in these trucks, it's going to impede traffic as well. Not only is it just going to be a nuisance watching and listening to these water trucks all day, they're taking 200,000 gallons of water out a day, roughly 73 million gallons of water. And if you read another article that I don't have in front of me right now, they wrote in to the local town hall, and as far as the legislative there, and said that Nestle's already tested twice with small sump wells as far as pulling out water for quality repeatedly. They did a 3-day test run, and that all the neighboring properties in the area all had weakened water pressure, weakened well pump pressure, and had significant issues with irrigation as well. So not only are these guys just going to start doing this on a regular basis, wait till they start pumping out 200,000 gallons of water. 100,000 gallons of water. I'm in a numbers mood today, guys. You're looking at 8,300 gallons of water an hour. They're just going to be pulling nonstop. Boom. 8,300 every hour. Air, money, money, money. Just cha-ching, cha-ching. You know, $1.4 million a day in raw water. So this is something that I would definitely do the best I could. Florida, we kind of have just an unlimited amount of water here in the aquifers. It's just part of it. We live on a peninsula. We're one side away from being an island. So there's not really an issue with water. But in some of these areas, especially on California, that's having significant drought, people really need to address this, and they need to do something about it. And especially, like I said before, if Nestle wants to come in and the town wants to vote on it and they want to get a substantial portion of money every single year in the surrounding areas, then that's up to them. I really don't have an issue with it because it's the town voting on it. But these guys coming in and have somebody changing the zoning laws without prior notice to anyone and allowing Nestle to come in, completely underhanded, and it needs to be addressed. This is an interesting article today that had me pretty stirred up. A lot of you guys, this is going to be controversial for a lot of you guys. I'm letting you know right now. And it's primarily because we have some people that, as you know, Dad's mentioned before, are 100% pro-Israel regardless. And if I just mention that and you're mad, you're probably going to turn the show off right now. And I'm not even bashing Israel at all. This article's not even about that. It's about the monetary system in our country and our economic system and our well-being for ourselves currently, our children, our children's children, and where we're going as a country and how we're spending money and what's going to happen in the near future. The White House now is reportedly planning to accept Israel's demand for increasing military aid. This is by David Rosenberg. With the current they have a current protocol with the United States setting to expire. Israel has now been pressuring the White House to enlarge the annual aid package from $3.1 billion to $4.5 billion a year. Guys, listen, this country has hundreds of nuclear warheads. They do not need us giving them $4.5 billion a year for more military equipment. This is completely egregious to our economy, our entire monetary system. This is something that really needs to be addressed, and nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody's pro-Israel, pro-Israel, pro-Israel. I am pro-Israel. You pray for Israel. We're giving them billions and billions of dollars a year, yet we won't even give our veterans proper health care. We won't even take care of them when they get back, give them proper psychiatric help. All we want to do is put them on medications when they come back from these countries over here. Are you kidding me? We're having one of the worst as far as health care debacles in this country now. Everybody's spending more and more money, but yet we're giving another $4.5 billion a year now to Israel if this goes through, which I have a feeling it probably will. What's interesting is they're said on here that they're prepared to sign an MOU with Israel that would constitute the largest single pledge of military assistance to any country in U.S. history, $4.5 billion a year. And understand, right now we're at currently $35 billion a year in foreign aid. And this is something that Trump brought up, and I listened to it a couple times, and I want people to listen again if you can find it. I don't have the link. He discussed this in detail, how we are giving billions and billions of dollars away every single year to all these different countries, over $35 billion currently. If this goes through with Israel next year, that will put us at $37 billion a year in foreign aid. None of these countries do almost anything for us. Understand that, guys. This is what he addressed. He said we give billions of dollars away to these countries and get hardly anything in return from them. This is something that people need to realize and wake up. This is not a long-term policy we can continue to do. Now, obviously, if we keep printing money from the Federal Reserve and just going more and more debt, this can go on in infinity if you want, especially if we go to digital currency. But if that's the case, if that's what we can do, why do we need to pay taxes? Why do I need to pay gas tax? Why do I need to pay income tax? Why do I need to do anything, actually? if we could just keep printing money, then they just need to start printing money and giving people $100,000 a year in printed cash if we're just going to continue to do that, if that's the ideology behind that. So I've had people say that to me before, and that's just one of the stupidest things you can come up with. This monetary policy cannot continue to go on. But roughly, and this one I wanted to address here as well, in 2013, there were roughly 12.2 million students under the age of 25 enrolled in college. 12.2 million in college under the age of 25. Guys, do the math. $37 billion. If you divide that into 12.2 million, that will give you over $3,000 a year for every student in there for their entire yearly tuition. Just to give you an idea, Polk State College tuition in-state, 1 year, is $2,483. That gives you plenty of money for books, fees, anything else that's tagged onto there. Now, I'm not trying to sit here and say we need to have socialized universities, colleges, but what I'm saying is when people bring up this stuff, how we need to cut this and we need to cut that and we need to cut this, how about we get an idea of why we're just urinating billions of dollars away to foreign aid to countries that don't. We give $1.4 million. Granted, that's not a whole lot of money anymore with the Federal Reserve, but we give $1.4 million a year to Saudi Arabia. It's designated as state assistance. Why do we give one of the most resource-rich countries in the world that have some of the most lavish lifestyles? Some of these guys have 20 and 30 vehicles over there that are $1 million apiece. Why are we giving Saudi Arabia $1.4 million a year in foreign aid for state assistance? I would really like somebody to show me that on paper, how that works out for us. Because last time I checked, I don't see anybody giving us any money, much less billions of dollars a year, even though we're like the largest country in the world as far as population-producing income. We don't get anything here. Nothing. We don't get a penny. Nobody does anything for us, but yet we're giving $37 billion away now. Just think about that for a second, though. Every single child enrolled in college under the age of 25, the seven-year spread right there, 18 to 25, would have completely free college tuition if we just cut out this ridiculous foreign aid that we're urinating away every year. That's something to think about, guys. So I want you to just let that set in. For parents, for kids, for grandparents, and understand that when we have this $1.2 trillion student debt loan bubble that's about to burst in the future, that it was completely unnecessary in the first place to even have to allow that to happen. We have the funds to take care of college if need be, and we don't even have to take it out of taxes. We don't even have to raise money for it. All we have to do is stop giving people money in other countries that don't deserve anything for it. So that's what I wanted to bring about on that. There's a health article for you guys. I always like to have a couple of these in the show. D3, a recent study, now which D3 is just awesome. If you guys haven't figured that out yet, D3 is an incredibly awesome compound. A recent study is now showing strong evidence of a link between a lack of vitamin D and poor cardiovascular health. The study results show that low vitamin D levels have been linked with a higher risk of having a heart attack, stroke, or heart failure, among other health issues. The results come from an innovative study conducted by the Intermountain Medical Center Health Institute of Salt Lake City. The study findings were presented at the American College of Cardiology Scientific Sessions in Chicago. The researchers found that those with low vitamin D levels in both bioavailable and total amounts had more cardiovascular health challenges. And bioavailable is the same thing where I've talked with testosterone as well, which is like serum-bound testosterone. You have total. Bioavailable refers to the actual amount of vitamin D in the bloodstream and not attached to proteins. So they did a ton of research on here, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, this right here should tell you that vitamin D is pretty much a non-option. That's why we sell it so much. That's why it's a huge seller. That's why we put it in almost all of our kits. The study concluded that people with higher vitamin D levels had the lowest risk of heart attack, heart failure, stroke, and death. The study underscores the importance of vitamin D to overall health throughout our lifetime. And this is why I tell you guys, and you get an understanding of it, you know, a standard good our base vitamin D3 5000 is a great place to start. We also have the D3 10000 with K2, which is significantly more aggressive supplement as far as dosage. But even the 5000, I mean, I think they're 90 soft gels per capsule. I mean, just 5000 IUs of vitamin D a day is a good significant dosage, especially to maintain healthy blood levels. Now, if you have extremely low vitamin D, or if you're pregnant, or if you're pregnant and you have low vitamin D, like Lana was, then you have to pretty much evaluate what you want to do. Lana got blood work done numerous times from the midwife throughout her whole pregnancy, and we found in the beginning stages that her vitamin D was fairly on the low side, especially what we wanted as a pregnant woman. So we immediately bumped her D3 up to 20,000 IUs a day. That's the high dosage, guys, 20,000 IUs. And by the next blood work, her D3 levels had risen, but only slightly. I was not comfortable. I still wanted them higher. So we bumped them up to 30,000 IUs a day. And by, I think, 4 or 6 weeks after that, she had another blood work done. And at that point, her D3 levels were in a very good, normalized, healthy range. I didn't want to go much higher than that because D3 does have a tendency to build up. And so I didn't want to start doing some mega super dose vitamin D and not be really sure where her blood levels are. But you have to understand, when a woman's pregnant, you're taking specific nutrients, especially like, you know, vitamin C, B vitamins that are water-soluble, vitamin D, fat-soluble, you really can't take too much of them. Now, that's within reason. Don't come back and say, you know, your wife took 50 different multivitamins in one day and she got sick. Obviously, use reasoning skills with that. But in general, with good bioavailable natural supplements, you really can't take too many as long as you take them within a good time frame from one another with good food. And it should always, when you're pregnant, you should always make sure you're eating as clean as possible. That's one thing Lana did that I was so proud of her about, is she really tightened up her diet. Not that it was bad before, but it's just one of those things. You know, you've got 9 months to build this child in you. You know, you can do anything for 9 months. You know, what you do in those 9 months is going to affect this child for the next 80 to 90 years of his life. 9 months versus 80 to 90 years. I think that's a pretty much no-brainer right there, guys. So that's why the Ultimate Prenatals we have is an awesome protocol. She had a lot of issues with nausea at the beginning, we talked about. So we had another anti-nausea prenatal that we've gotten. It's a great supplement. It doesn't have as high a dosing that I would prefer it had. So, you know, of course, we added other things in like vitamin D, more B-complex when she was taking those. But obviously, you know, when you're having issues in the first trimester with nausea, just getting good basic nutrients down was the most important factor, and that's what we were doing. You know, just basic stuff with those anti-nausea ones, because it's better than nothing. And then after about 12 to 13 weeks, the nausea subsided, and she started hammering all of it pretty hard. So another reason, like I said, with this research study, that D3 is significantly important. I think our D3 5000 $22.99. I mean, it's based from lanolin, 5,000 IUs of soft gel. It just a daily dose of one soft gel, that's a 3 month supply, guys. 3 months, $23 for a 3 month supply. I mean, you're talking about $7 a month for a good D3. And they're telling you right here that the results show that low vitamin D has been linked to a higher risk of heart attack, stroke, and heart failure. It's a no-brainer supplement. That's why we always have it in all of our kits. That's why it's one of our base supplements. That's why even when our Ultimate Multiple, we designed it, we added in 200 IUs for the base dosage of Ultimate Multiple, which, again, that is not a significantly high amount, so don't think that's the max amount you should take. But we add that in there as just an overall base, so you at least get, you know, a minimal amount of D3 simply with your multivitamin, because I have a lot of people that are just, they don't want to buy a lot of stuff. They just want a good, solid base supplement, and our Ultimate Multiple, it covers that in so many different areas, because we still have the bioactive B vitamins in there, a lot of other good stuff. So check us out if you want, healthmasters.com. All those supplements are on there. You know, anytime you want, go on there. You can email us. You can read the articles. We got hundreds of articles there, too. And the search bar, there's a search bar at the top with a little magnifying glass. Just type in any word you want. I had a customer calling today asking about his daughter, and she was having issues every time she drinks milk or dairy products pretty much at all. If she doesn't use dairy, she's incredibly healthy. She has no problems at all. But as soon as she eats dairy, she was having all types of different issues. And first thing I asked, you know, I said, are you raw milk or is it just store-bought stuff? And what's the store-bought stuff? And I told him, I said, well, you have to understand, I said, when they homogenize and pasteurize this milk, it's no longer milk anymore. It's not. It is not the same makeup at all. Not only is it completely changed the milk, it completely kills off all digestive enzymes that help break down lactose and protein in the body. So you're drinking a liquid substance that pretty much has no significant nutrient value to it whatsoever, except even worse, you're drinking a substance that a lot of times has so much lactose that you cannot break it down because of no digestive enzymes because they've all been killed from the pasteurization homogenization process. So it starts causing issues with the bowels, with runny nose, all kinds of different stuff. And people, and that's what I told them. I said, don't give it to her. I said, you know, raw milk, raw goat's milk, that's one of the best options. A lot, most states it's still legal to get. Down here in Florida, you can get it all over the place. It's great. And, you know, make your choice with it. Make your own decision. Don't listen to me on it. But I've seen so many people, even adults, drink raw cow's milk and have great results. I've done it multiple times. I usually don't drink much milk at all anymore, especially with training and dieting and stuff, because milk makes my skin too thick, especially whole milk. So I stay away from dairy in general. But I know back in the day when I used to drink milk, like store-bought milk, ice cream, anything like that, within probably 2 hours every time, I would immediately start, my nose would start running. Every time. Every single time. Nose would start running, run, blow my nose. By the next day, it would clear up again. Histamine reaction. Lactose. Massive amount of lactose. Body can't process it. I drink raw cow's milk straight from the cow. Go to the farm. Drink some. Nothing. I could literally drink a half a gallon throughout a day. Nose wouldn't run. Stomach wouldn't get sick. Not a single problem with it. That's just something to think about, guys. That's just a side note there that I kind of went off on there on D3. And also remember, too, natural raw cow's milk is also very high in natural D3 and also omega-3 fatty acids. When, again, when you pasteurize and homogenize it, you ruin pretty much all those nutrients in there. That's why they always add vitamin D back to it, fortified with vitamin D. Because vitamin D is void. There is nothing left in store-bought milk. That's why they add it back to it. If there is anything left, it's not going to work for you. It's been cooked up. This is crazy with a completely different story now. Anti-Trump protesters pepper spray and ends up hitting two little girls in the face. What I find funny about this article, and this is why I brought it up, it's not funny at all that the girls got pepper sprayed, let me clarify that, is that every time I turn around, you know, the media tries to twist and distort any type of Trump supporter, and rarely does anything egregious happen at all. But, like, every time I turn around, these anti-Trump supporters are so belligerent, so violent, so obnoxious, so unruly, that nobody can even be around them without getting in massive confrontations and fights. On this one right here, they actually have a photo of the guy. He's leaning over a bunch of people with a can of pepper spray in his mouth. Or it's not his mouth, in his hand. And what happened was, according to one of the people, Linda Reedy, she said a whole bunch of anti-Trump agitators ganged up on a bunch of Trump supporters. This was at the Anaheim City Hall yesterday. And so they had this big clash. They ended up getting in a fight. And so the man pulled out a handheld pepper spray device, which he used to incapacitate five people. Two of those people were an 8-year-old girl and an 11-year-old girl before fleeing from the scene. I don't know if police have detained him or not. I didn't see that in this article. I hope they did, because this guy is just a complete total nut job. He needs to be locked up with that type of behavior. First off, why are you really going to go to a anti-Trump rally with pepper spray? Really? I mean, are you that big of a softy? Like, you can't go protest and be normal. You got to bring a, you know, pepper spray, you know, OC tear gas, something used for riot control, sprayed in people's faces because you don't agree with their beliefs. This, again, is what I was talking about earlier with these far leftists that refuse to acknowledge anything that's going on. All they want to do is further push their agenda. They don't want to open their eyes and see, oh, there's something else going on. Maybe I should do a little bit more research. Maybe I should see what else is going on and not just go with these ridiculous, asinine ideas that pop into their heads
like, let's go to anti-Trump campaign and bring pepper spray and just randomly spray people in the face, including two girls. I'm telling you right now, if I would have seen this guy do this, I would have beat him unconscious. I'm not saying that as a threat. I'm saying that as a promise. If I'm ever in a situation and I see little children get involved in something, I get really, really aggressive really fast. These girls didn't do anything wrong. They definitely didn't deserve to be pepper sprayed in the face by this blithering idiot. So, I mean, anything like that, honestly, the cops did catch him, as long as the report is followed correctly, using less lethal device on a minor, on two minors, actually, if I'm not mistaken, is a felony. I don't know about in California. So that would be two felony charges that more than likely would not get pulled back. I don't see how they could plea bargain that out. I mean, you willfully intended to cause harm to two minors. There's not really, unless he gets a really good attorney, which I hope he doesn't. I hope he goes to prison for a while, because nobody needs people like that running around. David Hodges wrote a really interesting article today about Donald Trump and some of the key things that he said. And by the way, if you guys saw that yesterday, full five win, I think it was. If any of these things I go off on a little side note, I don't say a fact correct, I apologize in advance. We've been very, very busy lately, especially with the birth of my son. A lot of stuff's going on here. Not a lot of sleep's going on. So sometimes I miss stuff. I haven't really stayed in touch with any type of news or anything else. I pretty much prepped for this show today so I could give you guys some interesting stuff. But a lot of this is just off the cuff and from memory. And so if I miss something, you know, don't eviscerate me for it. I appreciate that. But Dave Hodges had a great article that he wrote out today. You need to check him out, The Common Sense Show. He some interesting quotes, and one of the things that he brought up on here is he said, politicians are bought and paid for by the special interest groups. You guys heard him say that. It was the politicians need the money to get reelected. They are not doing what's right for you. And there's a few other ones he said on here. I won't go into detail on all of them. You guys can go on his website and read it. But this is just something, and that's why so many people are so angry at Donald Trump and don't want him to get in the office. Now, I'm not saying he's a savior. I'm not saying he's going to honestly do anything. My honest expectation is when he gets in office, they're going to use him as a scapegoat to probably pull the pins on the economy and let the U.S. dollar crash. That way they can use him as the excuse. Well, you know, Trump got in the office. He did this and he did that and he did this arrangement with China and he did this tax and, you know, so the whole economy imploded. Is we're teetering on literally on a thread of string right now with what's going on. And the only reason this economy is still functioning, the only reason it's still where it is because the Fed wants it to be like that. If this was a real, true, unbiased, untouched, raw economy, and it was allowed to get manipulated up until this point, there's absolutely no way it could continue to go if the strings and the manipulation was pulled out of it. We see it with silver. We see it with gold. Same thing with silver. They're trying to suppress that. They dumped, $2 billion worth of paper silver on the market last week, trying to suppress it. Only dropped it down like 50, 60 cents. Back up again today over 17 bucks an ounce. I told you guys last week, I bought some more already. Buy some silver. I mean, I remember when silver was at 47, 48 bucks an ounce just 5 years ago. 48 bucks an ounce, almost 50 bucks an ounce. Eagles were going over 50, 51 with the premiums on. So, you know, it's just, it's a nice little thing to have on hand. You know, you don't have to be some massive silver gold hoarder. I mean, I don't recommend doing that unless you just have the cash to dump into it. But just having, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 silver eagles or some small bars, something like that. I like the silver eagles because the U.S. Treasury behind them. And they're usually not faked. However, I have heard lately that they've been faking some of them. I don't know if it's accurate or not. I heard it from a friend of mine, so be weary if you buy them. If you buy them, honestly, I would recommend you buying them in a 20-pack tube, the full green cap from the Treasury, and buy them from a company like Stephen Quayle or a good online company that's very reputable like Apex. Don't just be buying random stuff on, you know, Craigslist and stuff like that with silver eagles. I would not recommend doing that right now, especially if it is true and they really are counterfeiting silver eagles, which I find very sad. But I digress. Back to Trump. This is something that we're going to see happen. There's a pretty much a good possibility now with yesterday that even at the GOP convention, he's going to have more than enough delegates. Now, they may write something in. They may try and come up with some new rule or law that does not allow him to run. They may try and throw some third party in there. May try and make Ted Cruz run third party. I don't know. But if he does happen to run against Hillary and he does actually win, I have a feeling what they're going to do is they're just going to let everything implode and let him take the fall for it. That way all the leftists can be like, oh, we told you Trump was horrible. He did this. He did that. He started a war. He caused a great financial collapse. No. Nobody, no president has created a financial collapse. The globalists, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Rothschild, those boys have done it themselves. They're the ones that are doing it at all. This is something that I wanted to address last because it hit kind of home to me now that I have a kid. Even though I have a son, I'm sure I'm going to have more kids in the future. And we'll see what happens. But I have lots of friends that have daughters. And Target now is getting eviscerated online. I don't know if you guys have looked at it. Their petition, the boycott Target, is over 900,000. Before I went on the show, I looked at it. It was like 901,000, guys. In 1 week, almost 1 million people have signed that boycott petition of Target. Let me. What's ironic about this, if you guys haven't found out, Target came out with a big media press last week, 2 weeks ago, I think, somewhere around there, basically stating that they don't care if guys want to use the girls' restrooms. It doesn't matter if you're a pervert, you're a weirdo, you just want to go in there and spy on people, you're transgender, doesn't matter. You're welcome to use whatever bathroom you feel comfortable in. And so they've been holding true about it. They have completely stuck to their guns. And what's happened now is they're getting a massive amount of backlash. And the stupidity behind all this is that Target, if you've ever gone to Target, which I have, which I do not support anymore, which I told my wife, do not go there, do not take my son there. That will not be a company that I'll ever give a dime to again. And the irony behind it is majority of people, when you go to Target, are mothers and women shopping at Target. You go there all the time. That's a large, large portion of it. The total transgender population in the United States, from what I've pulled up, is 0.3%. Roughly 900,000 people in the United States transgender, identify as transgender. What does that supposed to mean? You identify as you're a male or a girl. I still don't have this whole identity thing out. But the irony about this is in a week's time, the boycott Target petition now has reached as many people, as many signatures, as the total amount of transgenders in the entire country. In the entire country, guys. If this thing keeps going for another couple weeks, we're going to see it starting to explode. It's probably going to reach 5, 6, 7 million by the end of May, if not even higher. People are fed up with this. And to go and show you even further, this is a video they got posted today. I saw it, I think, on InfoWars. Andy Park, he posted this video. He's a man, just clear as day, a guy, walks into St. Pete, which is about 45 minutes from us in Florida, dressed in clothing, complete male. Not even, you know, different clothing, not trying to even be gay or transgender at all. Just straight talk, men's clothes, clearly a dude. Goes up to the counter and the customer service counter, and there's a black guy back there, and he goes, I just came in. I wanted to use the restroom. I'm off the street. I just want to make sure that it's okay for me to use the women's restroom. I feel more comfortable when I go to the bathroom in the women's bathroom. And the guy kind of looked at him. You can tell he was just like, this is ridiculous. I don't even know what to say. This is the Target rep. He's like, let me get the manager over here. I'm going to have him talk to you about that. You know, he was like, I don't have anything to do with this. This is bizarre. I don't even know why I'm working here. So about 20 seconds later, this is on the video, you can see it. The manager walks up, the guy goes, hey, I'm not comfortable using the men's room. I just walked in off the street. I want to use your bathroom. I want to make sure it's okay that, you know, I feel more comfortable using the restroom with women if I can use the women's restroom. The manager goes, sure, absolutely, completely understand. Not a problem at all. And this is what really just drove me up the wall. And then the guy with the camera, you know, he's got a pin camera in his shirt, so it's undercover. He goes, well, what happens if I go in there and a lot of the women are not comfortable, you know, with me in the bathroom, you know, changing, going to the bathroom, doing stuff like that? He goes, oh, don't worry about that. If that's a problem, tell them to come talk to us and we'll address the issue and talk to them about it and you're fine. Don't worry about it. He goes, okay, sounds good, man. Thanks. Manager goes, all right, bud. And that was it. I mean, he's completely candid. Didn't even flinch. Just, yeah, don't worry about it. Doesn't even matter if the women's bathroom is full of women and little girls. If this guy, and he didn't even say he was transgender. He didn't say he was gay. He didn't even imply it. He simply said he was uncomfortable going to the bathroom, in the men's bathroom. And he felt more comfortable in the ladies' room. That's all he said. Off the street. He even said that. He goes, I'm off the street and I need to use the restroom. I'm walking in off the street. You know, I mean, he obviously wasn't dressed like a homeless person. But he didn't say, I'm a long-term shopper here. I spend thousands of dollars a week. I want to use your bathroom. No, just random dude. I'm going to come in. I want to use the ladies' room. I want to make sure it's okay for me to, you know, go to the bathroom with females and little children, little girls, change in front of them. You know, want to make sure it's okay. Yeah, sure, bud. Go ahead. Feel free. If they don't like it, tell them to talk to us. We'll explain it to them. So Target has shot themselves in the foot. I have a feeling right now, from what I'm seeing with this boycott, what I'm seeing with these comments online, they are about to lose some serious market share. In the public place, there's going to be a significant amount of people, because what's happening now is with this video going viral, and also, too, the petition going viral over the last couple days, more and more people are going to start seeing this and going, this isn't right. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize, and it's just the thing they talked about earlier, and I talked about before. If they want to support this, all they need to do, and I've seen this at places before, they have a unisex bathroom. Unisex. For people, you know, a lot of times it's handicapped, unisex, just one big bathroom, usually single stall, and, you know, a lot of times if other bathrooms are full or something, you can use it. I've used them before. It's nothing abnormal. It's like, okay, whatever. That's all they need. If Target wants to do that, they can put each one of those up. They can renovate their bathroom. They can spend money on it. They can be, you know, all supportive of this 0.3% and go from there. But sitting here and subjecting women and children to this type of deviant, perverted behavior is completely out of line. And I really honestly expect all of our listeners, if you guys truly understand what we're talking about here, I highly suggest you boycott Target as well. Like I said, I'm not going to support this behavior. This is not something that I want to have anything to do with whatsoever. And there was an article I talked about beginning of this week or last week. I don't know. My weeks have been blurred together. And it went in of all these different incidents that have happened with men dressing up as women and taking, you know, cameras into the stall rooms, peeping in on women, doing all kinds of perverted stuff. Guys, and this was in bathrooms that were not gender open, I guess you could say, whatever that's called. They were specifically male or female bathrooms. They did not have the policy of Target at all. They were flat out, you're a woman, you go here, if you're a man, you go here, and they are having these issues. What's going to happen now when the complete and total weirdos of society realize that they can literally go to Target and prey all day, and I don't mean prey as in praying, I'm P-R-E-Y, on women, and there's nothing that's going to be done about it. Even if the cops show up, Target isn't even going to prosecute them. I guarantee you. They're so far-fetched. Here's the article. They saw this video, by the way. They saw this video. They published it. They sent it to the retailer. This was Target's reply. Thanks for reaching out. We certainly respect that there are a wide variety of perspectives and opinions. As a company that firmly stands behind what it means to offer our team an inclusive place to work and our guests an inclusive place to shop, we continue to believe this is the right thing for Target. Thanks. These guys are about half brain dead. I don't know who they have running customer relations over there at Target, at the head of Target. I really don't know. But they are some stupid individuals from a business strategic standpoint. This right there, if I will be surprised if this doesn't single-handedly completely break down Target as far as what they do on sales and everything else. There's no way that majority of the population is going to support this at all. Especially, this isn't a state's rights. This isn't some city mandate. This isn't some federal mandate. This isn't Supreme Court. This was Target going out of its way stating that every single store they own is open for any type of gender use in any bathroom, regardless of how you feel, what you want to do. That's it. So I strongly urge you to look that up. You can look up the petition online. I think it's on ASA.net. And you can sign the boycott if you feel to do so. That's completely up to you. I'm not telling you what to do on there. But that's something that I would definitely look into if you guys are curious about it, because this is getting big. This is getting really big. And, you know, the other day I was kind of like, you know, with that, I was like, I don't really think this is going to make big of a difference. Most people are probably just going to be complacent about it. But apparently there's still enough people, that are okay or not okay with basically going in and allowing this type of behavior and shopping there. So I don't know. We'll have to take it for it is. Like I said, we'll see in the next couple weeks, and then see what happens with it, and basically understand, you know, that this is something that everybody needs to address. Everybody needs to look into. Also, too, we're having a. I appreciate any all the support, all the orders you guys have been placing over the weekend. We had a good response with the Hagman Show. We're doing our best to get all the orders out. We have run short on a couple different products, you know, the Purple Sticks, a few other things, Testo Plus. We got a lot of stuff on order, got a ton of fresh stuff coming in. It should be here this week and the beginning of next week. So I appreciate your patience. Today is April 27th, 2016. So more than likely by the beginning of May next week, we should have a lot of stuff in. So if you guys have pending back orders that are floating around, thank you for your patience. Just bear with us. We'll get it out. A lot of this raw material that we get, a lot of the stuff that we order, you know, we have to order in massive bulk. But then, you know, we have to put a bigger order in next time in the pipeline just to get it started, because this stuff takes a long time to get a hold of. So, again, I appreciate the support, and I thank you for your patience. And just understand that, you know, sometimes it does take a little bit longer. We're usually pretty fast with shipping. But that's why a lot of times we say 5 to 7 business days. That gives us a little bit of leeway. So if stuff does take a little bit longer, there's not an issue with it. You guys understand. And also, too, the book deal is still going on to the end of the month. Any order you place, you can type in a TED book, T-E-D-B-O-O-K, no spaces, into the order, and excuse me, into the coupon code, and that will give you a free Breakthrough Health book with any order over $50. So that's still going on to the end of the month as well, if you guys want to do that. And also, another thing I want to notice up in New Jersey, apparently there was a robbery a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, and the robbers came in and only stole food and some of the guys' money. So again, I want to keep encouraging you guys, don't wait until the last minute to stock up on food. And I'm not trying to pitch my food here. If you guys want it, we have it on the website. If not, do something else with it. Get stuff from the store locally. It doesn't matter to me. I'm letting you guys know that in advance, have something on hand. Do not rely on the stores to have food. Remember, in any type of emergency, it's generally within 6 to 12 hours, the stores are completely barren. So, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you for everything. Thank you for supporting us at healthmasters.com. We'll be back on the show again tomorrow. Hopefully, I can get a hold of Ted this week. We'll have him on. You guys have a blessed night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.